today, my sermon, I want us to look at what an acceptable sacrifice is. So the title of this sermon today is An Acceptable Sacrifice. An Acceptable Sacrifice. And our first reading today will be from Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. An acceptable sacrifice. Genesis chapter 4, from verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance falling? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? So in the first place, Adam had two sons here, Cain and Abel. Do we think that it was an accident that Abel was Cain's brother? Nothing happens to God by accident. God is perfect. God knows everything before they happen. He knows the end from the beginning. So that Cain and Abel were brothers was not a coincidence. It was not an accident. It was God's will. God planned it. And why would God give Cain a brother? Why would God give Cain a brother? Did God give Cain a brother to kill him? No. God gave him a brother so that he will have someone to support him, so that he will have someone to love him. And Cain is expected to reciprocate the love and the support that he would get from his brother. And the same thing with us. That is the same thing that happens to us. That we are brothers and sisters is not by accident. It's not a coincidence. That God has brought all of us together here, even here in Queen's congregation, from different parts of the world, different understanding and opinion, and God has brought us all together. It's not by accident. It's God's will, and God did it for a purpose. And that purpose is the same purpose for which God gave Cain a brother, to support, to pray together, to support one another, to watch each other's back, to be our brother's keeper. But Cain failed in that responsibility to love his brother. And let us see what God wants us to do to our brother, because this is a form of sacrifice to God. Let us see what God wants from us, requires from us when he gives us a brother or a sister. What does God require from us? If you turn to the book of John, chapter 13. John 13. John 13:34. John 13:34. Jesus Christ said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is what God expects from us. When he brings us together, whenever God brings people together, God brings them together for a purpose. And you know that purpose when the opposite of that purpose begins to happen. When you are tempted to hate, when you are tempted to fight, when you are tempted to, you know, have issues with your brother, that is the handwork of Satan, because he always comes in. Wherever God puts things together and fixes it, Satan comes to destroy it. So God wants us to owe all the brethren love. If you turn to John 15:17. "These things I command you, that you love one another." These things I command you, that you love one another. It's a commandment. This is a commandment from God, that we love one another. Like Charlie was saying, that God loves us so much that he is ready to do anything because of us. God wants us to love our brothers and sisters the same way he loved us. Say, "I command you that you love one another." And if you turn to the book of 1 Peter 3:8. "Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be cautious, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing." So we don't render evil for evil to our brothers. If they make mistake, if they offend us, the Bible wants us to get it right. If the other person gets it wrong, God wants us to get it right. If you think the other person is getting it wrong, God wants you to correct that person by doing the right thing. And if we turn to 1 John 4:11. Say, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." If we believe, if we actually summon it, that God loves us so much, and we believe that God loves us so much, and we believe that God is faithful, then God wants us to love one another the same way, because we are God's family. God wants us to love one another the same way he has loved us. "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin." These are the things that Cain, these were the things that Cain did not do. And I'm just mentioning them because these were the reason why Cain failed. And if we heed to God's words, if we love our brothers and sisters, we will not be like Cain. we will not be like Cain. God wants us to love our brothers and our sisters. God wants us to forgive them. God wants us to walk with them, support them, pray for them, and have a clean mind towards them. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. It's a commitment that we have to make. To love one another is a commitment. We don't have any excuse to give to God. We don't have anything to tell God. We can't give God any reason for not loving our brothers. If we give God a reason, God will say, oh, but I also have a reason not to love you. We are not perfect before God, yet God loves us. So we are not looking for perfect brothers and sisters. We cannot give an excuse that a brother is not perfect. That is why we don't love him. No. We are not perfect before God, yet God loves us. If we have a brother or a sister that is weak in one way or the other, that is not an excuse that we give to God for not loving that person. We must love. This is a commitment that we have to make. We must love one another. 1 John 4:7. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So if we love one another, we are born of God and we know God. And we don't just love people by saying it, oh, I love you. That's not enough. That's not how we love. We demonstrate our love. We care for each other. When people offend us, we fix it quickly. That is a sign of love. That is how we love one another. We don't just say it. We don't just conceive it in our mind. Oh, I love him. I love them. No, we have to demonstrate it. And Cain failed because he didn't love his brother. Are we going to be like Cain? No. We will not be like Cain if we love our brothers and sisters. And this is the reason why Cain failed. And this is the same reason why God did not accept his sacrifice. Now let's look into that. Because first of all, God gave him a brother. He did not love his brother. Before he offered sacrifice to God, and God rejected his sacrifice. So let's go to the sacrifice. Why did God reject Cain's sacrifice? And when the Bible said that our sacrifice is a sweet-smelling savor to God, what does that mean? What does God smell when we offer him sacrifice? When they offer God sacrifice in the Bible, what does God smell? Does he smell the fat of the ram or the goat? What does God smell? No, that is not what God smells. God smells the content of our heart. The love in our heart, the peace in our heart, the things where we wish our brothers and sisters, people around us, that is what God smells. That's what smells good to God, not the goat or the ram or whatsoever it is. Our sacrifice passes through our heart and takes the content of our heart to God, and that is what God smells. And when our hearts are not clean and we are bringing God sacrifice, any form of sacrifice, God will not accept it because his eyes does not behold iniquity. God, the Bible said, love does not rejoice in iniquity. God does not rejoice in iniquity. So if we bring God's sacrifice, we must make sure we are bringing it with a good heart. That is very important. That was why God rejected the sacrifice of Cain. The Bible did not tell us exactly why God rejected his sacrifice, but he didn't do well. The Bible said he didn't do well. But if we go to the Bible, if we read other parts of the Bible, we will have an idea why God rejected his sacrifice. And if we go to the book of Matthew 5:21. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembrance that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there your gift before the altar, and go thy way first. Be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So Cain, it's obvious, before Cain, you know, before you commit murder, is something that you have to think about. You think about it, you plan it before you execute it. The same day, I don't think the same day Cain and Abel offered sacrifice to God was the same day Cain killed Abel. And even before this happened, I believe that Cain must have, you know, had some animosity against his brother even before the sacrifice. But he did not reconcile it. He did not reconcile with his brother. He did not forgive his brother. And he brought sacrifice to God. And God rejected his sacrifice because he did not do well. God rejected his sacrifice. The same thing applies to us. The same thing applies to us. Before we even pay our tithe, before we even give any form of sacrifice or offering to God, if we want God to accept it, we need to go and reconcile with our brothers and sisters before we bring that offering to God or that sacrifice to God. If we want God to accept it. Because that was one of the reasons why that Cain failed. That is unacceptable sacrifice. When we have things against our brothers and sisters, and we are bringing offering to God, and we are bringing sacrifices to God, that is not an acceptable sacrifice. And we are God's brother, and we are God's children, and it will not be good for us to be stumbling block to one another. We have to remove every stumbling block that is standing on our way. Our brothers and God have brought us together to love, to cherish, to support each other. God did not bring us together to become stumbling blocks to one another. And we have to be careful with that. We have to reconcile with one another. If you have anything against anybody, against your brother or your sister, we must reconcile before we bring a gift to God. If you turn to the book of 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. First Samuel 15:21. 1 Samuel 15:21. The story of King Saul. God sent him to go to a certain country and destroy everything in that country. But he got there. He saw, he brought the king of that country back alive. He saw some fat cows and so on. He brought them back to sacrifice to God. And when Samuel came, Samuel asked him, "What have you done?" And he began to give excuses. So 21 said, "But the people took of spoils, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Had the Lord a great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft." So it is more important to God for us to obey him than to bring him sacrifice. And God has said, "I've commanded you to love your brothers and sisters. Love you one another is a command from God. And if we don't love one another, if we don't demonstrate that love, and we are bringing offering and sacrifices to God, maybe God will not accept it. I'm not God, but according to the Bible, God will not accept it." Saul did the same thing. He disobeyed the voice of God. He went and brought all those things to sacrifice to God. But God said, "I have more delight in obedience than in sacrifice." The same thing applies to us, brethren. Let us fix whatsoever we have with our brothers and sisters. Anytime our biological brothers and sisters, our spiritual brothers and sisters, anybody that God has brought close to us, is the will of God that we love them. It's the will of God that we show them love. If not, there will be a stumbling block for us. There will be a hindrance for us. And I'll take you to 1 John 3:15. 1 John 3:15. "Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer will have eternal life." Jesus Christ redefined murder. It's no longer when we stab someone to death or when we shoot someone and they die. If we hate anybody, if we harbor grievances for long against anybody, maybe we don't want to kill them because we don't want to go to jail. Maybe we don't want to kill them because we don't want to get into trouble. But if we have the opportunity to kill them without going to jail, without suffering the consequences, maybe we will do it. So if we conceive hate in our heart against anybody, it's a form of murder. And no murderer will enter the kingdom of God. We have to be very careful. We have to be very careful, and we have to know how to handle these little things. Charlie was saying that God can do anything because he loves us. And we should be ready to do anything because of God. We should be ready to humble ourselves because of God. We should be ready to take that nonsense because of God. We should be ready to go miles because of God. The things that normally an ordinary American would not do because of their pride and ego, we should be ready to do it because of God. Because God is ready to do anything for us. And this is how we show that we love God. If we are ready to take things because of God. But if we are God's people and still we are not ready to take things, do things because of God, we are thinking of ourselves. Or how will people feel about, what will people think about me? Then we are not ready yet. We have to change the question always. We have to change it. It has to be how will God feel, how will the other person feel, and not how we will feel. We should be ready to do anything because of God. that is very important. And I'll take you to the book of Genesis, chapter 8. This is the sacrifice that God requires of us. This is an acceptable sacrifice. Genesis 8. Genesis 8. Genesis 8:20. Genesis 8:20, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imaginations of his heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. So if you look at this place, Noah took clean animals and clean fowls and he offered them to God. And God looked at his heart, because in the days of Noah, the Bible said Noah found favor before God. Noah was different from the population. Noah was different. And God accepted his offering. God accepted his sacrifice. He was a different person from the rest of the world. God accepted his sacrifice. And if we think like Noah, if we love God, and if we love our brothers and sisters, and if we love God's creation, then God will accept our sacrifice. And that sacrifice is us, like I said before. It's not all about the smell of the goat or the smell of the ram. It's all about the smell of our heart, the content of our heart, the love that is in our heart, the peace we have in our heart, the trust we have for God. Those are the things that God looks at when we bring sacrifices to him. If our hearts are not clean, we cannot bring sacrifices to God. And if you turn to the book of Psalms, Psalms 51. Psalms 51 from verse 17. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifice of God are broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And Isaiah 1:11-18. Isaiah 1 from verse 11. Say, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice unto me, said the Lord? I am full of burnt offering of ram and the fat of fed beast. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to trade my courts? Bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moon and the Sabbath, the calling of assembly, I cannot always away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moon, your appointed feast, my soul hated. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hand, I will hide my eyes from you. Yeah, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings. from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So God says it's not all about our sacrifice. It's not all about gathering here every Sabbath. It's not all about going to the feast and doing all those things. And yet, our hearts are full of evil and wickedness. That is not the sacrifice that God wants. The sacrifice that God wants is a clean heart, righteousness, well-doing, love. That's the sacrifice that God wants. And if we have all these in our heart, then we can assemble. Then we can go for the feast. Then we can bring offering to God, and God will accept it. But if we are full of evil, if we are full of hate, if we are full of all the dirty things, and every Saturday we assemble here, we sing praises to God, and during the feast we go for the feast, and we do all those things, they are nonsense, a waste of time before God. God looks at the heart, and that is what God wants from us. That is the sacrifice that God accepts, is a clean heart. If you turn to the book of Psalm 15, Psalms 15, 1. Psalms 15, 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and walketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes his vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own heart and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. These are sacrifices that God wants. A man that speaks the truth. A man that does the will of God. These are the sacrifices that God wants when we come to stand in his tabernacle. And for us to do these things, for us to offer acceptable sacrifices to God, we must do what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:20. Please turn to Matthew 5:20. Matthew 5:20. Matthew 5:20. Jesus Christ said, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." So our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of ordinary churchgoer. Ordinary churchgoer, people that go to church just to feel good. Our righteousness must exceed that. Our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. What do these people do? They say, hate those that hate you. Love those that love you. Greet those that greet you. Say hi to those that say hi to you. We must grow above this. we must possess the righteousness that is greater than this. We must behave like God. The Bible said God gives his rain to the righteous and to the unrighteous. If you look at our world today, you see many rich people. Some of them are righteous, some of them are not righteous, yet God blesses them. If you look at our world today, you see many old people, people in their 90s and even 100. Some of them are righteous, some of them are not righteous, but God still blesses them with long life. If you look at our world today, all of us enjoy the sun. All of us enjoy the winter. All of us enjoy, we all enjoy everything that God gives. He gives it to both the righteous and the unrighteous. So our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. How? We love those that hate us. We greet those that don't greet us. We do those things because of God. Because we are God's family and we are God's people. And we are not ashamed to answer God's people. Sometimes we look foolish before the world when they don't greet us and we greet them. When they don't love us and we love them. When they don't do good to us and we do good to them. We look stupid and foolish. But that is who we are, God's people. That is who we are. And the Bible says we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven except our righteousness is above the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. This is very important. This is very important. If you turn to the same Matthew 5:13. Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So we are the salt of the earth. It doesn't matter where the bitterness is. It doesn't matter where it doesn't taste good. The Bible says we are the salt of the earth. We are the ones that will set the pace. We are the ones that will teach. We are the ones that will show the way to go. And we are the one that will make it taste good. We are the salt of this world. We are the light of this world as well. We don't wait others. We don't wait the world to come and show us the way. We are God's people. We are the light. So we will shine our light and others will see the way. And if we don't do it, what are we doing then? How are we God's people? How are we God's people? Everything we say here is the word of God. And if we apply them, that is how God speaks to us, and that is how we hear from God, and that is how we do God's will. We are the salt of the world. We have to bear that in mind. Where anything goes wrong, God expects us to fix it. God expects us to lead. God expects us to, you know, call for reconciliation. And that is what shows. And when we do this, people around us will know that we are God's people. They will say it. They will say, "This person is different." That is what makes us different. But when we behave like the rest of the world, when they don't greet us, we don't greet them. When they don't say hi to us, we don't say hi to them. There's no difference between us and them. But we must show that difference through our character. And that is how we preach the gospel as well. This is not the only way to preach the gospel, standing here and reading all the Bible and interpreting it. No. We can also preach the gospel with the way we treat other people, with the way we associate with other people, how we handle issues, how we reconcile with other people. That's another way of preaching the gospel. And that is even more effective than what I'm doing right now. That is more effective when we show people that we are God's people by what we do. If they offend us, we reconcile with them, we forgive them, and they see that we're forgiving them. They say, oh, this person is different. That's what makes us different. What makes us different is not when we say that we are different. That's not enough. And when we say that we are God's people, that's not enough. That's not enough to differentiate us from the rest of the world. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Brethren, this is what God requires of us. This is the best sacrifice we can give to God. This is the best offering that we can give to God. It's to love our neighbors, to love our brothers and sisters, to love the people that God have gotten around us to be with us. Because nothing happens to God by accident. God does everything and he knows everything. He brings people together and he disperses them. Any day it pleases God that we will no longer be brothers and sisters in this congregation, God has a way of removing somebody. Maybe you move to somewhere else, or you no longer agree with each other and so on. But God is the one that separates, and he's the one that brings us together. But right now, God, it is his will that we are brothers and sisters, and that is his will, and he made it so. And we have to cherish that. We have to celebrate it. And we have to thank God for that. And how we do that is when we show love, when we show support, when we love each other. That is the best sacrifice we can give to God. And when we do this, any sacrifice we bring to God, God will accept it. But if we fail to love one another, and we are more interested in bringing sacrifices to God, we are wasting our resources. We are wasting our time, just like Cain wasted his time. What God wants from us, love our brothers, it doesn't matter what. If you turn to the book of Hebrews 13:1. Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. No matter what happens, let brotherly love continue. No matter what the problem is, let brotherly love continue. No matter who have wronged us, let brotherly love continue. No matter where we've erred against each other, let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love must continue. If we must inherit God's kingdom, we cannot give God any excuse. We cannot bring before God any excuse why brotherly love will not continue. We are inexcusable before God. Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. And brethren, I want to encourage us. Let's encourage that brotherly love. Let's nurture it. Let's let it grow and grow and grow. And let's love one another, both our biological families and our spiritual families. Let brotherly love continue. I want to take you to, in conclusion, I want to take you to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 37. Matthew 24, from verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus Christ said the same thing, the same way we are saying these things here, the same way we're encouraging everybody to love and do the right thing for the kingdom of God's sake. That was the same way Noah was doing it. And nobody listened to him. Nobody listened to him till the flood came. That is the same thing we are doing today. And it is very important that we give ear to all these words, that we put them into practice, no matter who speaks them, no matter who says them. Let's put them into practice. Let's incorporate them into our everyday life. That is how we'll enter into the ark when the flood comes. I'm sure the flood will not come again, but this is how we survive the destruction that will come upon the earth. If you turn to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7, Matthew 7, 24. Matthew 7, 24. Jesus Christ said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Therefore, brethren, I want to encourage us to be good brothers and sisters. Let us be good to each other. Let us love one another, not just the people in the church. Let us love our neighbors. Let us love everybody that God has brought very close to us. Let us love them. Let us support them the much we can. Because like Charlie said earlier, God is love and God loves us. And God wants us to love the brethren. God wants us to love our biological families. God wants us to love our neighbors. And that is how we can bring offering to God, and God will accept it. Because God does not look at the sacrifice. He does not smell the fat of ram or the kidney of ram or whatsoever they call it. God smells the content of our heart. If he sees love, if he sees charity, if he sees support, if he sees all the good things that we have said here today in our heart, whatever sacrifice or offering that we bring to God, God will accept them and God will celebrate it. But if we live in hate, if our heart is full of hate, our heart is full of trouble, our heart is full of wickedness and all forms of evil, no matter how little it is. And we are busy packing sacrifices and offering and bringing them to God. And we are busy planning for the Feast of Tabernacles. We are busy preparing for Passover. And we are busy preparing for the next Sabbath. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Therefore, let's hear these words and let's incorporate them in our everyday lives. And that is how we grow, and that is how we become God's people, and that is how we will be transformed and changed when Christ will come, and that's how we reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years Thou shalt be part of the first resurrection. There is no other way. Therefore, brethren, I want to encourage us to love our brothers and sisters and do what God asks us to do.